is Yahuwah. All praises to Yahusha HaMashiach. Now that we have gone through the Yahusha mood, you know his purpose. You know how he felt. You understand his zeal, not only for the work that he was called to do, but also for the Father. But there's a reason why he gave us this testimony. It's a reason why he has given us multiple testimonies and multiple witnesses to his testimony in scripture so that we could understand that we may go through this very same process. Do you understand? The reason why we seek out in the scriptures how he was as a man and how he felt during those trials and afflictions is that we could prepare ourselves for what some of us could be going through. And what I mean by that is in Mark 13. I'm just going to read the whole verse from 6 to 11. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Mashiach, and shall deceive many. We are at that time where a lot of false preachers and a lot of false apostles, a lot of false Mashiachs have already come into the world. And we shall hear of wars and rumor of wars. Be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the Besorah must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Ruach HaKodesh. And now he said, like I said before, when I went over the Yahusha mood, how was he feeling at the time of when he knew he was going to be delivered up? How quick was he in response to letting the Yehudim know, the synagogue of Satan know, that it was not their power that he was handed over to them, but it was the will and purpose of Yah for his work to be glorified? How much does this relate to us in our walk? Right now, we're trying to present ourselves as a lamb, as an offering, without blemish, as much as we can be unblemished, to be offered to the Most High, to be able to shame the devil, that even in our hour, if our hour comes, or when the hour comes, we'll be able to stand firm in the Most High, firm in Yahusha HaMashiach. This is what is important for us to understand in these last days. Revelation 2, 9 and 10. I know your works in tribulation and the poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Yehudim and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So imagine in the last days when Satan really has a hold of this world. And of course, the Yehudim, once they go through the process of whining through the ADL and getting all the little rights, all the little protections that they have and seek for, that they will be in full power to be able to what? Go against the remnant that keeps the commandments, the set apart Gentiles that keep the commandments. So when we come to our hour, we will know, just like Yahusha knew, that if we're thrown in prison and beaten and afflicted and tried, it's not because they have the power. It's because the Most High has allowed this power to happen for us to be glorified. And the Most High wouldn't put us in situations where we would fold. That's why Yahushua says, don't premeditate. Don't think about what you will say, what you will do at that time or at that hour. Because what will be given to you will be from the Father. Yahuwah will make sure that Ruach HaKodesh will have you stand firm, where you won't speak out of fear, and you'll speak the same words, almost maybe not the same, but maybe paraphrasing the same words that Yahusha spoke to the Yehudim, to let them know it is not by your power you do this. It is by the Father who is in heaven that has allowed it to what? To get that crown of life. This is something you truly have to think about in these last days. This is why Yahusha really said that most people take out of context how he said that if you cared more about the mother, the father, your children, your significant other more than me, that you are not worthy for the kingdom. Why? Because it may come a time where you may be separated from your family or your family used against you in those 10 days. And to make you say, you know what? I can't go no further with this. I care too much about my family. I'll worship the beast. Could you say in that hour that you would neglect your family because you knew the situation you would be in and you knew it would be 10 days? We would have the same foresight that Yahusha would have when he, like I said before, I keep beating a dead horse with this analogy, walking into a room, knowing exactly who people are, knowing exactly what their purpose is with you, and you know exactly what your purpose is before you walk into the room. We will come to a time in the end times where we will know, walking in, before walking into that room, what our purpose is and who the purpose is for. We will know who our enemies are. They won't be hiding no more. They won't be in the shadows. It wouldn't be hidden hand. It wouldn't be, how they say, sleight of hand either. It'd be right dabbing. It would be right smack in your face. That's why he given us the scripture. That's why the Most High said, he said, I predict the end from the beginning. So you would have an expected end. So if you were chosen to be afflicted for 10 days, what do you think they will try to afflict you with? Mind you, if you have not gotten over your vices, if you have not gotten over your addictions, if your plan is to fully be glorified, even though you haven't fully let go of some things, and this is your chance to let go of them, this is the only way you could be justified through your faith. What if they tempt you with those things? Now, it says afflicted and tried. If he threw you in prison for 10 days, some of you would be afflicted and tried by, who knows, no food, no water. What if they knew that you have a problem with lust and they threw some diseased women in there for 10 days or diseased men? What if they give you unlimited porn for 10 days? Sleep deprivation. Now you have to think, the same things that they use for the CIA and terrorists and interrogation methods and all that, why wouldn't you think that they wouldn't use those same type of tactics on you if they wanted to break you? Now it says tried and afflicted. That means they want you to turn to the beast. They don't have the power to keep you in there 11 days. They don't have the power to keep you in there for 10 and a half days. They got 10 days to convince you that their way is better than the Most High's way. You know this going in. So when you are snatched from wherever you're snatched at and put somewhere in a prison for 10 days, you already should know. All I got to do is count the days. And you know how time is going by fast. That 10 days may feel like 5 days. What if they brought your family in front of you and unalive them right in front of your face until you bow down to the beast? Would you be able to do it? What if they ravaged your children in front of you? Would you be able to hold steady? Would you be able to come to the understanding that this life is very short? Pain is very short. That you know you will see your loved ones again because they will also be unalive through the glory of the Most High. That you will see them soon. This is only but a short sleep before resurrection. This is why I speak and have been speaking in all these episodes about being spiritually tough, mentally tough, emotionally tough, but also that warrior aspect of your Ruach that needs to hold firm and hold steady. I think about this myself because I've had one vision, and this vision was like 5 seconds at the most. And it was about me being drugged somewhere, not drugged as in like a drug, but dragged. I couldn't see the people's faces. It must be people I know, because when I looked up, the faces were all blacked out. And that usually happens when this identity is being hidden from you because you know who these people are. But I can never shake this remembrance of this vision, this dream, because it felt very real. I wasn't able to stand and walk on my own 2 feet. Somebody was dragging me somewhere. And I've been thinking since then, could I be the one that'll be thrown into prison, not knowing where my child is or my children are, not knowing where my Ishai is, my wife, not knowing anything, but thrown in darkness for 10 days. Will that Ruach be so strong within me that I be able to withstand 10 days of afflictions and being tried? Especially when I suck at having patience. Would I be just ready to be combative all the way through and making it worse for myself? But I think about that. But I hope in that hour, in that time of being tried, that I could think of Yahusha and everything he went through. How he allowed his enemies to smite him. How he allowed them to mock him and humiliate him. How he allowed to be meek and humble during his affliction. And we all know we're going to fall short of glory. Will the Most High be with us in that time or in that hour, strengthening us so that we could just be like Yahusha and say something quick and witty at the time of that hour? That if they come to try us, beat us, or whatever is in their power to do, will we sit here and say the same thing? You know what? You only are allowed to do this because you work in the darkness and we are the children of the light. We are the remnant. We are the fervent lover, the apple of the eye of the Most High Yahuwah. And then they just wail on us. Every now and again, that dream comes back and I think about it. Anytime I graze scripture that talks about being thrown in prison or the afflictions or being tried or enduring to the end. But the Most High doesn't put us in situations to fail. He didn't put Yahusha in a situation where he would fail. Now, he understood that he had anxiety over his purpose, which is completely normal and natural. This is why they wanted to put in that scriptures that he was sweating as if blood was dropping from his face. So he was sweating buckets, even though he'd known for some time that this was going to happen to him. Just as we read the scriptures of something that was written thousands of years ago for this time period, even though we know that we have to endure to the end, we still will have to go through an anxiety. We still would have to ask the Father to take this cup away from us. Not it be my will, but your will be done. It's not like Yahushua wouldn't want it a little time out, a little saving from persecution. But he understood it was his Father's will. We may not understand why we need to be thrown in prison or why we need to be tried and afflicted. Once we follow these commandments, we don't understand it. But I hope we have the fortitude and the emotional and spiritual toughness to say, you know what? This is the Most High's will. I know on the other side of this is a crown of life. I know on the other side of this is paradise. This is what we are preparing for. This is what the churches do not prepare anybody for. It's like they don't even touch the book of Revelation. It's that they're trying to keep everyone in the same timeline, never going forward with their Ruach. Like, I've been to a Christian church only like for funerals or just to be in there, you know, either to see family or listen to something new at the time of my awakening. But they're talking about the same things, being pre-raptured ready, being raptured ready. They truly believe that they don't have to have any type of affliction for their faith. They think all they got to do is just believe and Jesus will take it all away. They'll never, ever, 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 ever have to endure to the end because they're going to be saved from the end. And they've always been teaching this and preaching this. They're never going anywhere. They're in the same exact place. But when we read the scriptures for ourselves and we truly understand Yahushua's mood, Yahushua's purpose, we know we're going to get to that day where most aren't going to expect that day. But we know we're going to get to that day. So this is the whole walk is for us to strengthen us for that day, for that hour. This long walk where we feel like it's short, but this long walk of ever purging our flesh. We are preparing ourselves to be a lamb without spot, without blemish, to make our testimony and the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach pure, so the Father can be glorified, so Satan can be shamed. And don't think that the Most High is just sitting by and it's not going to have any retribution or recompense on the other nations. And I came across this dream that Enoch had. They talk about this like a history dream. It's like it wasn't like one dream. It was like a dream about history, about everything that has happened and was going to happen in future generations. But the way the Most High broke it down for Enoch to understand was by vision. And he used animals. So I came across this one part of the vision or one part of the dream. And it sounds so familiar to me. And I wondered, that was the Most High talking about our generation? Enoch 89. I'll start at 90. I saw that Yahuwah of the sheep made a great slaughter among them in their pasture until they cried out to him in consequence of that slaughter. Then he departed from the place and left them in the power of lions, tigers, wolves, and the hyenas, and in the power of foxes and of every beast. Now this definitely is talking about the Israelites. Yahuwah of the sheep. We are the sheep. And when we are disobedient, he allowed lions, tigers, wolves, hyenas, foxes, oh my, every beast to devour us for our disobedience. It even says in Yirmiyahu and Baruch that he would watch over us for evil. Anytime we were disobedient, he would let other nations tear into us. And the wild beasts began to tear them. I saw, too, that he forsook the house of their fathers and their tower, giving them all into the power of lions to tear and devour them into the power of every beast. Then I began to cry out, with all my might, imploring Yahuwah of the sheep and showing him how the sheep were devoured by all beasts of prey. But he looked on in silence, rejoicing that they were devoured, swallowed up, and carried off, and leaving them in the power of every beast for food. He called also 70 shepherds and resigned to them the sheep, that they might overlook them. Then he called to another and said, "Understand and watch everything which the shepherds shall do to these sheep, for many more of them shall perish than I have commanded." Now, when we were sent in places of captivity, especially in America, what has been done to us here has never really been done or spoken about when they went into captivity to the Persians or the Babylonians. It's here that they went harder in the punishment than they should have. So these 70 shepherds, who was leading us into these captivities and making sure that the enemy made all of Deuteronomy perfect by hanging us, stretching us, throwing us in the swamps to alligators, lynching us, everything. And we think, like, why were they allowed to turn up the heat so much? And here we find that maybe the Most High only commanded a certain amount of us to perish, but the enemy took it too far. It says, "Of every excess and slaughter which the shepherds shall commit, there shall be an account as how many may have perished by my command and how many they have destroyed of their own heads. Of all the destruction by each of the shepherds, there shall be an account, and according to the number, I will cause a recital to be made before me, how many they have destroyed of their own heads and how many they have delivered up to destruction, that I may have this testimony against them, that I may know all their proceedings, and that delivering to them, I may see what they will do, whether they will act as I have commanded them or not. However, they shall be ignorant, neither shall you make any explanation to them, neither shall you reprove them, but there shall be an account of all the destruction done by them in their respective seasons. Then they began to kill and destroy more than it was commanded them." I think about in that dream that has a lot to do with the Israelites going into captivity and then coming into captivity in America, us being destroyed, trodden down more than all the other captivities that we probably have ever imagined or went through. Because obviously we didn't spend 400 years in captivity to the Persians, the Greeks, and the Babylonians or the Assyrians. It was 400 years here that they turned the heat up on us. It even says in other scriptures too, when he talks about Esau, that you trodden them down when they were already beaten down and you gloated about it. You extended the destruction. So I'm thinking the Most High is telling him already in future generations, this was going to happen to the sheep, your inheritance, your bloodline. This is what's going to happen to them. The enemies will tear into them more than what I've commanded. And I can go back to Joshua with this. When the Most High said that on the account of one Yasharel child, 1,000 energetic, strong Mitzrayim men were cast into the sea. Cast into the waters, account of one child that they threw or that they killed. So you imagine the four little girls that were blown up in the church in Birmingham. That's 4,000 bodies right there. Emmett Till, that's 1,000. You think of all those postcards that had lynchings and hangings on them. That's 1,000 a body. You think of slavery, 400 years, the massacre in Arkansas, which was called like the Red Summer or something. But it was a massacre in Arkansas where a lot of black men and black soldiers that came back from the war were killed by a mob of white folks. That's 1,000 bodies each. That's a lot of people falling. So the Most High is saying, I have a number. I want that number. By the time I come to visit, I want that number. I want to see how many they destroyed that I told them to. I want the ones that I didn't tell them to destroy, how much was it from when they destroyed them. And like I said before, you read Jasher when he talks about all the things that the Egyptians did to the Israelites, putting them in the buildings at Egypt, putting the babies in the buildings in Egypt, the Egyptian women going into the Israelite women's houses and bringing their children in there. So if they were hiding a child, their children will cry out, and that will cause the Israelite baby to cry out because there's two children in the room. They would take the children and snatch them from their mothers. That was one. It was a time where they were throwing them in the river, and the Most High was saving them from the river, and he brought them upon land and hid them in the earth and in the fields. And when the Egyptian men or Egyptian farmers would see the babies, they would try to plow them over with the ox and wasn't able to. Like, if you think about, or when you read Jasher, all the things the Egyptians did to the Israelite children, it would disgust you, but it would be eye-opening. Because you've seen what happened to Egypt. What makes you think it won't happen to America? What makes you think that the Most High cares if you're not your ancestors or not? This is why all of us are called to repentance when it comes to our generational curses. All of us. It ain't just us. All of us. All of us are called to separate ourselves from our past bloodlines in order for us to not be attached to those curses. A lot of people have the mindset of, well, I ain't my ancestors. I wasn't there. And I usually say the same thing. We wasn't under Mount Sinai. My father wasn't under Mount Sinai. My grandmother and my grandfather wasn't under Mount Sinai. We were born into this. Born into this covenant. So if we were born into a covenant of blessings and born into a covenant of curses, what makes you think you are outside of this covenant, even if you are a Gentile? Even in Deuteronomy, it says, when you come back to me, I will turn those curses from you, and I'm going to put them on your enemies. Do not be the Most High's enemy. Having pride and having an ego at this time or at this junction is detrimental to your ruach and your flesh, because the Most High is the one that can kill both. He can send both into Sheol, into the pit, into the fire. So don't take it as, oh, I'm listening to this ex-football player talk about spirituality, blah, blah, blah. What does he know? It ain't about that. I'm talking about the scriptures. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not twisting it. I'm not misconstruing it. I'm reading flat out black and white what the Most High says he's going to do. And I would trust that he will do it. Especially when the children of his inheritance are a testimony for what he has done. If you think of everything we went through in this country and being destroyed, most people think that, it's supposed to happen because they're just a lower race, because this is the outskirts of slavery. This is them rebuilding or restructuring their race. And they miss the spiritual aspect of our journey, our affliction. Plus, I think people know that there has to be some type of retribution. They hope and pray that they get money. We get money. We get reparations for it. But I wouldn't even want the money. The Most High is not going to want the money. He's not going to want tithing from the heathen. It's going to be a recompense so strong and so tough. It's going to time that people will want to die. And like it says, death will not allow them to die. Death will flee from them. This is not a plague or a punishment I would ever want to endure. To be afflicted so much that you just want to kill yourself, regardless, and you won't be able to. But for us, those who are trying to be righteous, those who are trying to stay upright, and also those who are struggling through whatever vice you're struggling with. And I said this before. If you don't come to the fullness of your season, that means if you don't come to the ripening of your spiritual harvest, you are going to get caught in a wave from where you have to prove your faith and prove that you can let go of these things. Do not let it get to the 10 days and you aren't sure where you stand with the Most High, that you need to be afflicted more than you would have to be afflicted in order to prove your faith, in order to be justified, that you are no longer in a stronghold with your vices. That's what we all should be working towards. If it's lust that you're dealing with, don't let that be the thing that tries you very hard in the end. You really have to overcome. Now, we don't know what type of afflictions we may have or may go through or may have to endure. But get the power now, wouldn't you think? If you struggle with alcoholism, why not get the power now over it? So then when you get to your testimony, when you get to your hour, you could be standing firm and be excited, knowing exactly where you're going to go if this things go awry for you. If you are unalived in the Ruach, if you are unalived in the flesh, let it be because you have beaten your vices. If you struggle with lust, don't let that be the reason you're tried in your final hour. If you have a problem with anger, your temper, or being violent, don't let that be the affliction that you have to endure in your hour. Seek the victory now. Prepare for the victory now. Yahushua was a lamb without spot. No one could be as perfect as Yahushua. We couldn't even say what this man's issue would be. What would he suffer from or for? Nothing. It didn't get no more perfect than him. But he endured a lot, even when he didn't have to. So shouldn't that be true for all of us right now? That when we are in this walk, and if we are to be afflicted, and we are to endure to the end, why not have it be for nothing but the testimony at hand? I think that's what we need to truly put in our perspective. I mean, this scripture has a lot of perspectives, but this is this perspective I think is very important when we come to the end. And we're almost at the end. Never mind them trying to move the doomsday clock to 11:58 or 11:59. That don't matter. Because we know that's a man-made clock. And they're only talking about their destruction. They're only talking about things they're going to create to get you to the Antichrist, to get you to the Hegelian dialectic savior. But this is the scrimmage. This is the practice. This is the preseason. If you falter in the preseason, what makes you think you won't falter when we get in the middle of the middle of the war, the middle of the stages of them starting to know exactly who keeping the commandments, exactly who is not worshiping the beast? If you're shaky now, what makes you think you won't be shaky then? It is a powerful testimony that you will have, that we will have. And not just thinking that this world is going to end after your testimony. No, this world is not going to end after your testimony, after our testimony. Imagine your future bloodlines, those who survived all of this. What will they say of you? How will you be carried on? Just as much as we read scriptures, all the great men and women that have done marvelous things for the Most High, even unto death. We are still reading about. Your name, your glory, your honor will carry on for generations. That you are the reason that your future generations are thriving. Because you offered yourself up. You were chosen to go through this affliction. We don't know how close we are to walking in Yahushua's footsteps. We really don't. We don't really fully understand it. There is a reason why he is the example. We have a lot of examples in scriptures, but there's a reason why he is the example. The Most High has not left anything up for chance. He has never left anything up for mystery. He is not the author of confusion. He's letting us know exactly what could happen to us and what definitely will happen to them with no lies mixed in. The confidence we should have at this time and at the time of our hour should be unwavering for the Most High. Because we should ultimately expect it. Yahushua talks at length about, do not worry about those that hate you. You should love it. You should love it. Just as he told his brethren. He said, the world don't hate you. It hates me because I testify of it. When you are walking in this world and you're walking into light, people are going to hate you, not because of you, but because of who has you covered. Who has given you this testimony to live above them? You should not walk into the situation like, oh, I'm isolated. People don't like me. My family doesn't care enough to care about me or to reach out to me. Everybody's separating themselves from me. I'm isolated. I need a community. I need a church. We should not be going through those emotions. Just like he told Ezra, put off thy weak nature. We shouldn't even care. We should wear it as a badge of honor when people dislike us. Because not everybody is chosen to see this truth. And no matter how much they want to understand it, they will never, some of them, well, I would say most of them will never understand it because it's not their time and it's not their place. Just like there had to be a Judas, there has to be people to be observing of to observe the testimony, to be a witness, but to never cross over to righteousness, to never cross over to the crown of life. They're only here to bear witness and then removed. The Most High has made this world for many, but the world to come for few. You better start being comfortable with what few means. He saved 8 people. To restart this whole world, he saved 8 people. He saved more animals than he saved people. So in this world to come, and he said few, I'm not saying it's going to be 8 people. I'm not saying it's going to be 4 people. But I'm saying the world to come, it's going to be, it won't be billions. When he say few, few ain't a billion. So we start need to come into the fullness of this gospel early. We need to start reaping in our due season. We need to be sowing in our due season also. So when at the time of harvest, we aren't thrown into the fire, but we are gathered into the barn. After gathering into the barn, then we go about our processes of being tried, of being afflicted and enduring to the end. I know you guys go to work and it's strenuous. It's difficult to live in this world, especially when you're trying to do everything right with the laws, the statutes, the commandments, the feast days, the calendar. I get it. I truly do. I feel for you. Some of you have partners that aren't fully into the truth, or never in the truth, or never thinking about the truth. I understand your struggle. I do. But we have an advocate. There's a reason why you are chosen to either be with a partner who doesn't believe so you can sanctify him or sanctify her. You are the blessing. They may not know it or understand it yet, but they will. Their time will come. And it will come in a way where it will be unmistakably known to them that the reason why they're saved, the reason why they have grace, is because of you. I truly believe the Most High is going to put you guys in situations where only you, your prayer, your faithfulness, will pull them out of strongholds. And they will have no other excuse but to realize the reason why they are safe and covered is because your prayers, your faith, your works. They just haven't met their hour yet. But you are preparing. This is what you are preparing for. You're preparing for that hour. For you to be glorified and sanctified and justified in order to save your household. If you are dealing with a partner who is not fully into the truth. I truly believe this. I don't believe we will have strife in our homes all of the time. Or enduring strife till the end. I don't believe so. I believe there will come a time where they will turn back to you and praise Yah for you. And for those who are single and are eager to be covered, eager to have someone to cover, eager to make your household full because you know what your purpose is, either as a wife, as shy, or as a husband, that you need a household to feel full, I guarantee you, there will come a time where you will take someone in and they will trust in you, you will trust in them, and you will be a household because you have prepared yourself through faith. You have justified your faith to the Most High. That you will be given exactly what you want at a time where everything is going to be flipped upside down. So it won't be no, oh, let's date, let's talk for a little bit. No, somebody's going to run into you looking for shelter. And it'd be that person that you will take in that you will be married to. I truly believe so. I think some of you are a little impatient with getting exactly what you want as far as a partner. I understand that part of it too. But in due time, right now, you are building your faith. You are making the building blocks of your household spiritually. You are building up your hedge. You are being tried in your faith. So when that day comes, when this world starts to shake, the person you will take in will be the person you will end up with until the end. It won't be no, hey, we should, you know, date a little bit and, you know, see where this heads. Maybe, you know, Yah brought you to me or not, I don't know. It won't be none of that. You will know. The person you are called to cover, the person you are called to save will be your person. And both of you would know that it was from Yah. Both of you will know. So I would say keep hanging on. Keep building your faith. Keep being justified before the Most High. He has not forgot about you. Your prayers are not being hindered. As it said in Scripture, it's piercing the clouds. He knows what you need before you ask it. So right now, in the world right now, everything is pretty much quiet. You see the same stories of Hamas, Israel, and blah, 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 and hostages. You see the same thing with Donald Trump, haha, blah, 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 blah. It's real quiet. But right now, you know that they're souping up. You know something's coming out of nowhere, but it ain't coming out of nowhere for us because we're already prepared for it. They're not building underground cities and bunkers for nothing. Just for a little rain shower. Just for a little climate change. They're not building bunkers and cities and smart cities underground. Which they've already ran stories on CNN and other media outlets that from the year 2013, I think 2020, they talked about this underground city. It was called Subtropolis. Look it up. They ran stories on it. And all of a sudden, they come out of nowhere with Fallout, the TV show, about people hiding in bunkers from a nuclear blast. And then they came out with another TV show called Paradise on Hulu. Great show. But it's about hiding people into a cave underground because the world was destroyed. They're not doing all this for nothing, for nothing to happen. Just to say, oh, it's snowing in places that it shouldn't be snowing. It's raining and flooding in places that shouldn't be raining and flooded. They're not doing that just for that. So start building your faith and have an understanding of where you are in this world and where you are in your walk. Where you see yourself and where you see your family, your children in the midst of this walk. Because that's important too. If you're the head of the household, start preparing your children for that hour. I'm saying even to myself, I have to start laying the groundwork, the book of Revelation for my daughter as well. Because what if she's taken from me? What do I tell her? How do I prepare her for being tried? Now, this may happen when she's in her 20s. But I should be preparing her now that if we ever separated, you hold fast to your faith and knowing that Yahuwah has gotten you and that we will see each other again. That whatever happens to us, we make sure that we are the ones that are in line of the resurrection. Even Yahusha says, a strong man would understand, or the watcher of the household would understand where he is and would watch for the enemy so he would not suffer his house to be broken up. This is the job for the strong man and the watchman to prepare so you will not suffer your house being broken up or broken into. So I know when that day comes, I need to start preparing my child. But then when she leaves this house and she may not be able to get back to me, for her to prepare and call out to Yahuwah. There's a lot of silliness going on right now. A lot of jokes, a lot of satire, a lot of comedic relief. And people think that using jokes and satire and sarcasm is going to help them through these enduring times. It's too much giggling and laughing, dancing and prancing. Hucklebucking and shucking. People are not preparing for when their household is tried. And you're going to see it get broken up right in front of you. But you will be ready. You will be prepared. Your children will be prepared. This is why in Deuteronomy, the Most High told us to instruct our children. To pass these words down, to pass these scriptures down, to pass these laws, statutes, commandments down to them. So it protects them in the last days. So we won't have no excuse to say, oh, the Most High didn't tell us. Oh, the Most High didn't prepare us. Oh, we thought the Most High was going to do everything for us. If that was the case, Paul wouldn't have said, work out your own salvation through fear and trembling. Just as it says Yahusha has worked the Most High's will through what? Trembling. Maybe not fear, but trembling. Knowing he had to go through this affliction, knowing he had to be stretched and put up in front of the whole world of his day. He worked out the salvation for all who came to him. I think this is special. I think this is a really special time, and especially the time to understand the scriptures, Yahusha, and to get deeper insight of exactly where we need to be in this walk and where we see ourselves in the end times. Are we really truly prepared for that? Are we truly ready and prepared to face all of the psyops, rituals, abuse, beatings, tortures, afflictions that we may have to endure in order to get that crown of life? I don't want you to think on it too much, like it says in scripture. Don't think about it too much. Don't think about what you will do and what you might say. Because the Ruach HaKodesh will be given unto us to say exactly the perfect thing at that time. But I want you to at least have it in your mind. When it comes to enduring to the end, what that actually means for you individually. What that means for the Most High. What that means for His glory. If those 10 days were tomorrow, could you say that you would be prepared if those 10 days of imprisonment happened tomorrow? Would you say you have all your strongholds put in place? Would you say that, or not put in place, I would say put away. Would you say you had all your vices and strongholds buried by now? Ask yourself, if you were in prison 10 days and they came and got you through your afflictions and your vices, would you be able to stand firm in the faith? Ask yourself, what do you need to purge out of your ruach in order for you to stand strong for 10 days? I see y'all Wednesday.